through 19. This say I therefore testify in the Lord, that ye hence walk not as the other Gentiles walk. God's people should have a different walk than the world walks. Do y'all agree? Our walk should be different. How we conduct ourselves should be different. And I look for that in people. I like to see that change in their life. I get excited when people make professions of faith, but I like to see it lived out publicly. I love to see it. And that's a glorious thing for you to see. And that's what this text is speaking of. Now let me read down just a little bit farther. Back down to verse 17, now 18. Having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. Now that's one idea of the reprobate mind. When someone has a reprobate mind, they don't feel no more. Sin doesn't bother them anymore. They can go out here and you know, when you're close to Jesus, you have a very tender conscience. Have you noticed it? When you're close to the Lord, things bother you. But when you drift and you become worldly, what happens many times is people sin and there's no bothering about it at all. Their conscience doesn't sear them at all. And they basically don't care. And there's a lot of people that are that way, claim to be saved, but they have no spiritual taste. They don't have no real love for the Lord or spiritual things. Now, beloved, I think there's something wrong with somebody like that. I think there's something wrong with somebody like that. Because when you're born again, old things pass away. All things becomes what? New. New. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you new? Are you new? I get it, like I told you before, I get excited when people make professions of faith, but I want to see the newness. I want to see the change of life. That's what I love to see. Old Stewie sits here, Mike's brother. And you remember how Stewie used to be, right? I broke him up more fights than you can count over the years. I really have. It's just been unbelievable. But I want to tell you what. He's a total different person. He's totally different. Got a real tender heart. He used to fight a buzzsaw. He would. But he's got a real tender heart. He'll come up to me and say, I didn't hurt your feelings, did I, Jake? I said, no, I'm all right, Stewie. You didn't hurt my feelings, none. But the Lord gives you, when you're born again, a real tender conscience. He does. And he changes the way you live. And he changes what you like to do. He changes you all the way around. And that's a wonderful thing. Here in Matthew 24, you don't have to turn there. The text says, waxing cold. And the idea of waxing cold is being past feeling to where things don't bother you no more. That's a dangerous place to be. Things don't bother you anymore. And when someone gets in that type of condition, that's the reprobate mind. That's what it is. Of mind void of proper judgment. A dangerous place for people to be in. What happens is your conscience goes silent. And things don't bother you. Years ago, I'd say this is It was when I was in junior high more than anything else, but I was probably in eighth grade. I'm pretty sure it was when I was in eighth grade, eighth and the ninth grade. And I did good when I was younger. I did so good when I was younger. I had good Bible teachers that taught me about the Lord, and I learned a lot of things about the Lord. And then I drifted. That's what I did. I drifted into sin. And what it did is it, made me mean. It made me mean. And I didn't, I just continued to get in trouble after trouble after trouble. And my mind wasn't what it should be. And my feeling in my heart, I didn't care. I didn't care who it hurt. I didn't care what I said. I just didn't care. That's how I got. And that's the idea of being past feeling. You get to the point to where things don't bother you anymore. And when someone gets in that kind of condition, that's a dangerous place to be. I want to tell you a little something about the Lord. I'm afraid of Him. I love my Lord with all my heart, but there's things that I'm afraid of doing. I'm afraid of the Lord. I'm afraid of, you know what I'm afraid of, don't you? I'm afraid of His chastening hand. That's what I'm afraid of. And if you're born again and you drift in this kind of a way, it's not a good place to be. What do we want to be? We want to be close to the Lord. We want to walk with Jesus, so to speak. We want to be in His house and in His Word and around His people. That's where I want to be. I mean, if people don't like God's Word now, how are they going to like heaven? How are they going to like heaven? If they don't like being around God's people now, how are they going to like these things? I can't wait one of these days to go to heaven. Can you? We sing that song, "What a Day That'll Be." What a day that will be. And that's coming for us. It's a great thing. But there's many people, I think, their conscience has grown silent. See, that's like a little alarm system on the inside, I think. Like a little alarm system. And what happens when you're thoughts when you have a tender conscience, it goes off all the time. And it helps keep you what? It helps keep you straight. What's happening to a lot of people is that alarm is not working anymore like it used to. Sin don't bother them no more. People can just do whatever. But they don't care. They can say what they want and they don't care. They can live anything they want, they don't care. So they just don't care about things is the main thing. So that's what the reprobate mind does. Your conscience gets seared. Sin don't bother you. You don't care what you say. You don't care who you're around. And beloved, when it gets that way, that's a dangerous place to be. But I want to tell you something. It's hard to determine whether someone is saved when they have this reprobate mind or not. It's hard to tell at times. But brother, it's a dangerous place for God's people to be. I'm going to tell you that right now. When you drift that bad and get in such a way as that, that's a dangerous place to be. All God's people say it. Be sure to remember that. All right, let's move down to our second point. We done looked at our first one. My question was you on the first one was, does sin no longer bother you? I want you to remember that. Does it not bother you? Let me tell you one more thing. When nobody else is around, how are you then? I want to be true when nobody else is around. I want to be the same in this pulpit as I am outside the pulpit. I want to be the same in my house as I am in God's house. I want to be the same. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to put on a show. I want to be real is what I want. That what you see, what you are in that pulpit is the same thing you are back in the pew, so to speak. There's no difference. And I think it's important for God's people to be that way. Okay? So one time I drifted, and I mentioned that to you. The difficulty I had with it, I wasn't sure if I was truly saved then or truly saved later. All I know now is I know I'm saved now. And I move on with it. And move on with it. I know I'm saved now, and that's the main thing. All right? What turned me around? Well, the Holy Spirit, obviously, is ultimately, that's who turns you around, right? The Holy Spirit opens your heart, and Holy Spirit deals with you. But here's what happened to me. What turned me around was three people, and I'm going to tell you who they are. Number one was a boy named David Hines. Any of you know David Hines? Anybody? You do, Rick? How do you know him? Don't know? You just know everybody, don't you? David Hines is one. David Hines was a year younger than me when I was in school. The second one is Randy Duncan. He lived in Hanshaw Addition, too. It's where all your great athletes came from, was down in Hanshaw Addition. Anyhow, Randy Duncan was another one. And now I want you to get this. Right beside me was Paul Turley. That's where he lived at. Right beside me, right? And then right beside of him was Randy Duncan. And two doors down from the other side was David Hines. And you know what happened? All three of them boys died. All three of them. I thought only old people died. I thought these guys were 16, 14, 15 years old. They played ball with me and things. I thought only old people died. And that had such an impact on my heart. Because I believed in hell. And I believed in heaven. I just didn't know that 15-year-old children could die. See what I'm saying? I didn't know they could die. David Hines, Randy Duncan, Paul Turley. I could hit them with a rock and not have to throw real hard to do it. It had an impact on me. There is really such a thing as hell. Do y'all believe it? There is such a thing as heaven. And people put such things like this off for a long period of time. You can't put salvation off. You don't know when you're going to die, and you don't know when Jesus is going to come. Either one. I wanted to be ready. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be ready. I wanted to know that I was saved. My biggest problem was I didn't know when I was saved. Some people think I'm ignorant for saying that, but I didn't know for sure when I was saved. I know I'm saved now, don't get me wrong, but I didn't know for sure. I made a profession, see, and this happens to a lot of young people. I made a profession when I was 8. I think I had proper understanding when I was 8. But as time went on, I got into high school, then I drifted. I drifted and I fell into sin bad. And then you know what happened? These three boys here, David Hines, Randy Duncan, and Paul Turley. I thought only old people died. I didn't think young people died. Yeah, I never seen that much. I didn't think my neighbor and this neighbor and you could hit the other neighbor back there where Mike Shamlin sat in that. I didn't think that happened to teenagers or young people. Never thought that happened that way. Subconsciously, I knew it, but I didn't really think it was true. And when this happened, I thought, what if that had been me? What if that would have been me? Would I have been ready to go? And see, that's what brought all of that up. Did I really get saved when I was 8, when I made my profession? Was it real? Was it true? You know what I did? You know what gave me peace? I went in and shut my door. Didn't want Mom to come in there. I went in there and shut the door. I said, "The Lord, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. But I want to be. And if I didn't know what I was doing when I was 8, I want to trust you right now." And I went on with it. And I haven't worried about it ever since. That's what he did. Isn't that a glorious thing? You got to know you're saved. Let's get to the next question now, or next part of it. The third thing that I learned in this time frame is it wasn't, like I've told you, it wasn't just old people that died. It's also young people. Here's the third thing, or the fourth thing. I got all kinds of things to throw at you this evening. Anyhow, I had a pastor that came to church here, and he had an influence on me. And his name was John Henderson. Do y'all know John Henderson? Most of you know him. And the only bad thing about John Henderson, he says, he was the meanest boy of any church that I ever pastored. That's what he said up there when I went to a revival up there one time. And he was right. I was that way for a long time. But John Henderson had an impact on me. He had an impact on me. He came down here one day, and he, of course, we didn't have that many people back then. And one of the things that he did, he said, "Jeff, I need a helper." I said, "Well, I don't know how to do anything. I'm dumber than a rock. I mean, I can catch a football or things like that, but I don't know how to do all this work." He said, "All I need you to do is hold one end of the board." That's what he said. So I started working with him, my pastor. And you know what I was worried about, don't you? I was scared to death I'd cuss. I mean, because I cussed awful back then. And then what happened? The Holy Spirit used him talking to me about the Lord. And I got things right with Jesus. That's what I did. And he was he had a big influence on me. I loved him. Still do. He'd brag on my work. I know it didn't look that good, but he'd brag on the work that I do. He would show me things, teach me things about the Lord. And the Lord touched my life in a mighty way with him. He really did. Never forget the things that we done together here at the church over the years. And I appreciated it. I did. Most people wouldn't want anything to do with somebody like me back then. But he showed an interest in me. And I'll never forget him for that. He went to all my football games. He went to all of them. I would go out on that football field, and there I'd look for him, a preacher. He'd look, find me, and he'd go. That's how I felt. He'd shake his fist at me whenever I'd go down there. But he had an impact on my life. I got to see that preachers wasn't crazy, you know, and I got to see that they cared about you and things of that nature. Wonderful thing. I had another preacher named Brother Hollis Walters. He taught me more about the deeper things of God's Word. And learned from that. And learned growth from that. Wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. To have people that will help you. And you need to thank people for that, I think. Thank the Lord, number one. But God puts people in your way so that you can be a help to them. And when you can do that, that's a wonderful thing. Brother Hollis would teach a class. Have one person in it. One. Not 10 or 20 or whatever. One. I thought, you know, most people, would you think, I mean, I was only like 16, 17, and most people would think that'd be a waste, wouldn't it? Well, I only got one. But that one was me. He taught me a lot about the Scriptures, the deeper things of the Scriptures. 3 hours. Sometimes it'd be one person in the class. 3 hours. He'd teach me the Scriptures. He did. Most people will call that a what again? Well, that's a waste of time. You only got one. One can make a big difference, beloved. One can make a big difference. That's what he did. That's what he did. Never forget him. Never forget him for that. And he's still that way all the way down to the day. He's still the same way all the way down to today. These are things that the Lord has put in my life over the years that I wanted to, just tonight, to share with you. To share with you. The Lord has been good to me, and I didn't deserve it. And there's been people that the Lord has put in my life around me to help me at specific times. And I'm thankful for that too. I'm thankful for the Elizabeth Baptist Church. We've been here, you know, I've pastored here now to this point for 40 years. 40 years. I hope I can keep on going till Jesus comes, don't you? We always have that hope. But I'm thankful to the Lord to give me the opportunity to share the gospel with people over these many years together. I pray that the... just wanted to give you these things so you can know a little bit about my past. I have a lot of these things I've not shared with people over the years. And that's how I've been at this church all my days, really. My mom told me the first place she took me to was in into the Elizabeth Baptist Church. Come in, I was a baby. Had just been born. First place she brought me was to God's house. And mom, and I've talked to JP about this before, my mom, she didn't allow you to talk in church. Even when I got to be a teenager, you know. She'd slap your lips off, buddy. I'm telling you, it was awful what she'd do. My mom could slap me in the mouth and didn't even have to turn around and look. She just knew where it was at, buddy, and she expected me to be respectful in the house of the Lord. I learned that from my mom. There's a great host of people that have drifted in sin, I think, especially in our nation. I think it's important that we watch after that mindset that doesn't follow God. We need to place Him in the first place, not in the last place. All God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.